Would you turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6? No surprise there, right? Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at the second part today of the shield of faith. So in Ephesians chapter 6, as you're finding that, let me share with you kind of where we are. We have gone through several pieces of the armor, because we know that as we would be victorious for the Father, we need to know and use the resources He's given us. Amen? Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to start right there with verse 10 and read through verse 16, and leave your Bible open. We're going to go back to verse 16 in just a few moments. The Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Whose might are we to be strengthened and in power in? His. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Does that sound intimidating? I know I'm stopping here in the middle of reading there, but does that sound intimidating? Listen, if it doesn't, you're not reading it right. It can be intimidating. But we have right there in that transition, we have one of those therefores. We look to see what it's there for. We look to see that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Amen. "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." We're going to talk about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit another day, but today we see where God's Word has told us that we take the shield of faith with which we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Father, we pray that we would be aware that when there is a threat of any kind, when we feel the attack of Satan, we pick up the shield. We use it to deflect his fiery darts. Lord, we need so badly strong faith. So we ask today, would you increase our faith, and would you increase our knowledge and wisdom on how to use it? In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. We want to live in victory, so we know that there are several pieces of armor that we need, because it says to put on one piece of the armor. What did it say? Two pieces of armor. Three pieces of armor. It says put on the full armor of God. And we have six pieces listed for us. And we've already talked that we need to gird ourselves about with the belt of truth. Now that means that we are to be resisting Satan's traps, resisting Satan's lies, resisting Satan's temptation by being protected by the truth of God. Secondly, we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate of righteousness, remember we said, protected our emotions. It protected our feelings, and it protected our thinking. That is our holy living. Holy living is our daily protection. Then in verse 15, it says that we need to stand in the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we talked about that word preparation. Remember that it means that we have to be prepared in it. It's just not something that you can just slip on and off. You need to be prepared with the gospel of peace. And that means that we have the peace of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way that we can have peace. Here's the understanding. When we have Jesus, we have God. When we have God, God is on our side. When God is on our side, who can stand against us? Amen? Praise the Lord. No matter what Satan brings against us, we can be strong in the Lord. We can be strong in the power of His might. So we started the shield of faith, which is the next piece of armor, which you remember that transition. It says that we have these first pieces on. They stay on. They don't come off. And then it says taking the shield of faith. So we started there last week. Let's look at that verse again. Verse 16. It said in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Now look at these different things. We have the shield of what? What's it called? The shield of faith, of which you will be able to quench. What does quench mean? It means to put it out. I mean, it means to pour water on the flame, with which we can quench all of the fiery darts of whom? The wicked one. Who's the wicked one? That's the devil. We know who he is. So we're looking at the shield of faith this morning. And we're looking at the second part of this. You remember we said last week that the shield that's being talked about is not that little round shield, but the great big shield. And it's larger than this that somebody could hide behind. The Greek word was thurion. And it described a large plank that was covered with metal or with leather that could knock out an arrow or drop an arrow, quench an arrow that was had fire on it. So when the battle gets heavy, when Satan is firing his fiery darts at us, we take the shield of faith, we hide behind it, and we take that shield of faith, and it will quench some of the fiery darts of the devil. What did the scripture say? It says it'll quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we know that the wicked one is the devil. We know it's Satan. He is the enemy of our faith. And the scripture talks about the principalities that we battle with Satan. He is a real foe. He's not a philosophy. He's not something that's made up. Satan literally bombards every believer. Listen, every believer. Not just some. Not just a new believer. Not just a young believer. But every believer. He bombards every believer with his fiery darts. And his fiery darts are what? They are the seducing temptations of doubt, of fear, impurity, selfishness, disappointment, vanity, greed, depression. All these things Satan wants to drag us down with. So we need to turn to him. And we know that our defense against his fiery arrows is what? The shield of faith. Now, what is faith? We talked about that last week. Just to recall, faith is to believe God. Now, we said not just to believe in God. The devil believes in God, right? The scripture says that the demons believe in God and they tremble. Listen, we believe in God and we are rejoicing because we don't only believe in God, we believe God. We believe what he's told us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You cannot please God without faith. That's why the Bible tells us in Habakkuk, in Romans, in Galatians, and in Hebrews that the just will live by what? Faith. The just are going to live by faith. In other words, believing God. Because you see, believing God, having faith, is our life. If you don't have faith, you're going to fall. The just will live by faith. Here, you see, the truth is, whether you believe it or not, God is on your side. You may not read it, believe it. You may not feel it, but God is on your side. That's the truth. You know what faith is? Believing that God is on your side and trusting that God is on your side and using the information and the resources that God gives you because he's on your side. So that's the difference between truth and faith. The truth is the truth, whether you believe it or not. Amen? I like a bumper sticker I saw years ago. There was one out there, and it said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But you know what? As far as the truth is concerned, you can take out that middle line. Whether you believe it or not, God said it, and that settles it. Now, if you believe it, that's faith. There's the difference. So let's use all three of those statements there. So we have faith in God. And true faith, dear friends, is putting your full weight in Jesus Christ. Your full weight in God. Do you remember the illustration of the chair? How many were here when we did the illustration of the chair? Oh, man, I tell you what. The chair, you realize that in order to have faith in a chair, you got to pull your full weight in it. You're all sitting in a chair, and right now, you have faith in that chair. You're putting your full weight in it. You're not depending on another chair or something else to hold you up. Listen, that's the way it is with God. That's what faith is. You put your full weight, your full trust, your full everything into God, and He's the one who carries you. And Jesus is the only way to be carried to the Father. So, faith is your double protection against Satan. The question is, will you trust God? Will you trust God? Every dart that Satan fires at us is a fiery lie. It's literally a seductive temptation. But our steadfast in God, our steadfast faith in God, is what protects us and snuffs out those fiery darts. Now, when we believe Satan's lies, and he lies to us all the time, when we fall for his temptations, we're not believing God. We're not trusting God. We're believing Satan. Let's look how Satan works. And I think this is very important for us to understand why the shield of faith is so important and why it's used to quench the fiery darts of Satan. So let's look how Satan works in that. First of all, let's look at the temptation of Adam and Eve. After all, they were the very first ones who were tempted. So if you want to turn with your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 3, let's read then verses 1 through 5. If you want to just listen, that's fine. In chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, now, in the Garden of Eden, God had created a perfect environment, right? He created a perfect environment. And he also created what? He created sinless people. Now, they didn't have perfection because they would have chosen differently. They were humans. But listen what it says, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree in the garden?' And when the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You won't die.'" Can you hear him saying that? Hello? Can you hear him saying that? He didn't say, "Well, I don't think you'll die." What is it? "You won't die." Listen to the accuser. Listen to the deceiver. "You won't die. You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Deceiver. Liar. God created a sinless woman and man, and he put them in a perfect garden, and the deceiver came to them, and he said, "You know, you just can't have anything with God, can you? Well, he said you can't have any of these trees. You can't eat from any of them." And Eve, do you remember at the beginning, she corrected him, and what did she say? She said, No, we can eat of all of the garden. It's just one we're not supposed to. Did you notice how Satan puts all the focus on the one you can't have? Hello? Any of you on a starch-free diet these days? Any of you try to be gluten-free? Any of you who are counting those calories? Boy, I tell you what, it always seems to be the one you can't have that flashes up on the screen in front of you. That's always the one that's on the counter. Okay, it's the one we notice. Listen, Satan knows what he's doing. He didn't say, oh, look at all these things you can have. Look how God has blessed you. What did he point out and what did he bring to focus? And he didn't say it that way. Well, did God say you can't eat any of this? He's such a deceiver, people. He's making you think in a direction that God is not good and God is not giving. And then he says, you can't trust God. He knows that if you eat of this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like him. Now, all of a sudden, he's making God look like he's restricting them and that he's keeping them from something good. Satan was tempting her to doubt God and believe him. Are you with me? Agreed? He was wanting her to doubt God and believe Satan. Satan was tempting her not to put her faith in the one who had given her everything, but in him. And since then, when Eve gave up her faith in God and trusted the devil, ever since then, every fiery dart that Satan has fired at us is a temptation to believe the devil and not to believe God. Who are you going to believe? Let's look at another temptation, the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, and Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. It talks about this, the temptation that Jesus was put through when he had begun, before he had begun his public ministry. He went out to be tempted, to be prepared. And as he went out into the desert, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he had finished that fasting, it says that Satan tempted Jesus to disbelieve God. First, when you go back and look at verse 3, it says that Satan first asked Jesus to what? Turn stones into bread. Now, how many of you believe that it would be a sin for Jesus to perform a miracle? That wasn't a sin. And now listen, there are other times in his life when Jesus ate bread. It certainly wasn't a sin for Jesus to eat bread. So how was this temptation a sin? Because you see, Satan was saying, when he came to Jesus and he said, oh, you must be hungry, turn these stones into bread so that you can eat. Satan was saying, you have been here 40 days in essence. He's saying, you've been here all this time with nothing to eat. God has abandoned you. You're on your own. Your father said he would take care of you. And you're hungry. He forgot you, Jesus. God has forgotten you. I wonder how many of us have been there. You've been without a job. You've been without funding. You've been without health. You've been without all types of things. And Satan comes and he just plagues us with these thoughts. He says, God has forgotten you. You don't matter. He focuses on the one thing that the Lord says, you know, trust me, trust me, trust me. And he focuses on the one thing that he knows that we're really, really struggling with. I'm not the only one who does that too, am I? Satan was tempting Jesus to distrust the Father. He was saying, you don't have to wait on God. You grab some satisfaction right now. You don't have to wait on God. Get it any way you can. You know, you have the power to turn these stones into bread. You can do that. He was tempting Jesus to take control of the situation himself instead of waiting on God the Father, instead of going through what God wanted him to go through so that he could test his control. He wasn't trusting the Heavenly Father. He didn't want him to trust the Heavenly Father. And then Satan said, with a second temptation, he said, now, didn't God promise to make you the Messiah? Didn't God promise that every knee would bow, that every tongue would confess, that you would be a king, and that everyone would pay homage to you? Listen, if you will jump off of this pinnacle right here, everybody will see you, and they'll know that you're the Messiah. They'll know who you are. In other words, don't wait on God. You take things into your own hands. And then Satan said, now wait a minute, didn't he also say that he would give you the world? That you would have dominion over all things? Listen, Jesus, if you'll just come with me, if you'll do what I ask you to do, I will give this world to you. Did the world belong to Satan to give? But you know what? When you've been through a lot of stuff going on, whether it's physical or emotional, spiritual, the mental things that you're battling for days and days and days, sometimes the temptations of Satan begin to make sense to us for some reason. And that's why we need to be so careful not to listen to him. Listen, what Satan was saying is, don't believe God. He doesn't keep his word. If Satan tried that on Jesus Christ, how much more does he try it on us? How much more does he try it on you? When you're struggling, when you're hurting, he tries to tell us, oh, you trust me. Do it your way. Do what you want. Do it how you think it's going to work, instead of trusting God. Now, of course, we know that Jesus did not yield to Satan's temptation, but I want you to notice what happened in verse 11 of that script, that chapter in Matthew. Verse 11 says that when it had all happened and it was all done, that God sent angels to minister to Jesus. Why? Because he waited for God's timing. And don't you even begin to think that if you won't wait on the Lord, that God won't send angels to minister to you too. They are his messengers. They are his creation. It's the very same thing today. Satan tempts us as Christians to believe him instead of believing God. He tells us as Christians, or he tells the world, and he tells us as Christians, he says, I know that the Bible says you're not supposed to have sex until you're married, but you're missing so much fun. You're missing so much excitement. Oh, by the way, didn't God create your body? Didn't God create the very act of sexual encounter so that a husband and wife, God created it, it's got to be good. Didn't Jesus say he wanted you to have abundant life? And now look how he's limiting you. All the trees of the garden, but not this one. Our dilemma is this, dear friends. Are we going to believe Satan or are we going to believe God? Every time we sin, we believe Satan's lie instead of God's truth. How about this one? I know the Bible says that I'm only supposed to marry a Christian, but I have such a wonderful relationship with this person. And by the way, you know, we're praying that they're going to get saved. We're praying that they're going to come around to it. Satan says, just do it. But God is saying, no, don't do it. You're putting yourself in jeopardy. And he does it with everything else too. Don't read that filthy book. Don't watch that particular movie. Don't cheat on your taxes. Don't steal from your employer. The list is endless, is it not? Satan says, oh, it's okay. If it feels good, do it. If it works for you, just do it. And God is saying, no, don't do it. When you sin, when I sin, when we sin, we believe Satan. Who are you going to believe? Satan or God? When you believe God, you know what we do? We obey his word. That's how we show we believe God. The scripture tells us that the shield of faith is our protection. Faith is obedience. Faith is what? And obedience is faith. When Jesus Christ was tempted, how did he respond? What did he do? Essentially, he said, Satan, get out of here. I choose to believe the Father. And he quoted the word. He said, Satan, God is going to feed me. God is going to anoint me as Messiah. And when he's ready, he will give me the kingdoms of the world. Satan, I'm going to believe the Father, not you. And by the way, isn't your name devil? And what does devil mean? Deceiver? Isn't your very name deceiver? And you're trying to convince me to do something that God the Father has said is the right thing to do? Listen, folks, we just need to remember the name of the one who's battling against us. The deceiver, the liar, the evil one. In John chapter 5, First John chapter 5, verse 10, God's word says this: if you don't believe God, you make him a liar. Is God a liar? Titus chapter 1, verse 2 reminds us God cannot lie. God will not lie. He cannot lie. Every time you sin, every time we sin, we believe Satan over God. You do what you want, and you shove God into a corner. But when we do that, all we've done is cheat ourselves. When Satan convinces us to yield to our temptation, we don't gain. Let's look at God's promises versus Satan's promises. I think it'll help us with this, and this is a part of our shield of faith. Satan says, do it my way. You'll like it. Do it my way. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go through the process. You don't have to be married. You don't have to stay in the law. You don't have to treat other people right. You do it my way. It will fulfill you. But that's a lie. Now listen, I don't know if anybody ever told you, and they might say, you know, doing it the devil's way is not fun. That's a lie. Doing the devil's way is fun. It's just very temporary. Satan will tempt you into pleasures that don't belong to you, and they are pleasurable, but they are not profitable. In the end, they cost so much more than what you want to pay. Whenever you sin, you're saying Satan knows best, not God. Is that what you believe? Satan knows best, not God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And when the father of lies, John 8:44 tells us that he's a liar and the father of lies. And when the father of lies says, oh, do it my way, it's better. I mean, when is the light bulb going to come on? Amen. You know, we say, amen, that God knows best. But when we lose a job, or when our health fails us, what do we say? What do we do? God, what are you doing to me? God, you've forsaken me. God, you've forgotten me. And Satan says, oh, just do it your way. God has forgotten you. No, he hasn't. God has not forgotten you. We know what Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says. Do you remember? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the things that you need that are listed in the previous verses, all the things that you need will be added unto you. But they're added unto what? His righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God. But instead, we tend to seek the things we need and ignore the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's one thing that Satan tells us. Because we're all about the right now. We're ready for the stones to be turned into bread right now. We're ready for God to deliver us from all the difficulties right now. We're not living by faith when we're grabbing on to the world. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, God says this: blessed is the man who hears me. Now, let me just stop there. Proverbs 8:34, God said, blessed is the man who what? Hears me And then we go back to Revelation, and it says several times, he who has ears, let them hear. Don't just let it go in, but let it register. Amen? Actually hear what God's saying. Let it be a part of your process, your thinking. Matthew chapter 7 says that when you ask for bread, God will not give you a stone. Psalms 119 declares that it is wonderful to obey the word of God. So many blessings all throughout that long chapter. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed is he who reads God's word and keeps God's word. Malachi chapter 3 tells us that if you want a spiritual blessing, that if you will give God what he asks, see if he will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing that you can't even begin to contain. But do we trust God? Do we trust God when he says, if you will give me of your first fruits, I'm going to bless you beyond that? So many times you say, oh, it's easier to hang on to that. I can't give that away. God, that's just too much. God says, test me. Try me. Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3 tells us that he wants to give us spiritual blessings beyond what you can think and ask for. Now, wait a minute. I don't know about you, but I can think of some pretty good stuff. Amen? I can think of some pretty big things. I can think of some big spiritual blessings. But the scripture says that God wants to give us more than we can ask for and even more than we can think of. Wrap your head around that. God wants to give us even more than we can ask for. James chapter 1 says that God wants to give you every good and perfect thing. So, if you believe that God wants to do all that, you know what you have to do? Have a shield of faith. You've got to have the faith. Believe him. And believe him that when he says, if you will obey me and you will follow me and you will seek my kingdom first, then I will pour out for you a blessing you can't contain. But instead we believe the devil. Instead we believe ourselves and we sin. And in doing so, we forfeit the blessings that God wants to pour out on us. That's why we need the shield of faith. It protects us from the damage that we would cause ourselves. Why do we act so foolishly? I don't want to forfeit his blessings. Anybody want to get in the line to say, I just want to forfeit all my blessings? Let's just get in the Jacob and Esau line, right? Oh, man, I'd rather have a bowl of beans right now than I had to have all the blessings of God. We are so short-sighted, amen? Oh, come on. We are so short-sighted. Listen, the only way to quench Satan's darts is to believe God. That's the shield of faith. Romans chapter 4 verse 3 says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Listen, just because he had faith in God, because he believed what God said, it was counted unto him as what? Righteousness. Whom do you believe? Satan or the devil? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24 says, by faith you will stand. So the shield of faith helps us to stand. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5 and 6 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield. Listen, he is a shield to those who trust him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you. If you believe and obey God's word, it will be a shield. But if you don't, you'll suffer. And Satan is always adding to God's word. Amen? He takes just enough of it to look true. Isn't that the best lie there is? Just enough of it to think, oh, well, yeah, but I think I remember something about, yeah, I think that's true. He takes a little bit of the truth and he adds his lies to it. That's what makes the great deception. Don't listen to him. God is a shield for those who trust him. Psalms chapter 18 verse 30 says, God's way is perfect. God's way is perfect. He is a shield to all who trust him. God is a what? a shield to all who trust him. 1 Peter 5:8, you know this one. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But that next verse says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him. What does that word resist mean? Do you remember? To stand. That's what that word stand means. And having done all to stand, resist. Resist him steadfast in the faith. There's your shield. We resist the devil by believing God. Not just believing in God, but what? Believing God. Trusting God. That his word is true. That his word is real. That when you do what he says to do, God will bless that. So the shield of faith is believing God's truth and consistently applying it to the issues of our life. Because if you don't apply it, you're not believing it. If you know it and you say you believe it, but you don't practice it, you don't believe it. If you don't trust God, then you don't know him well enough. Hello? If you don't trust God, you don't know him well enough. The more you know God, the more you know the truth of his word. And the more you meditate on him in your prayers, the more you're going to trust him, the more you're going to believe him. When you know the trustworthiness of God, you can depend on him. You'll trust him. Boy, I've used a lot of scriptures today, but I'm still not through. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 says that God said, "Fear not, I am your shield." Your shield of faith. Psalms 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Anybody have any times of trouble? Proverbs 18, 10, the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Psalms 84, 11, the Lord is my sun and my shield. The shield of faith, dear friends, is knowing and believing that God is on your side and acting accordingly. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you victory over Satan, but you have to believe him, and you have to believe his word, and you have to obey his word. We're ready for battle when we're wearing the belt of commitment, the belt of truth. Amen. We're ready for battle when we're wearing the breastplate of his righteousness. We are ready for battle when we wear the shoes of the confidence of God's gospel, the truth that he's on our side. And when the battle begins, the first piece that we grab is the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil. So let me ask you, anybody here got any darts sticking in you? Better question, anybody not have any darts sticking in you? Listen, he bombards us with his lies and his temptations. And if you think you don't have any in you right now, you're mistaken. Satan is always firing at you. That's why we need the shield of faith. Trust the Lord, dear friends. There is no reason for us to lose even one battle, because in Jesus Christ, the victory is ours. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Christ has already won the battle. Amen. He is our victor. If we put on his armor, we will too. How simple is that? And yet so hard, right? It's so easy to focus on the one tree. Husbands, wives, children, when you see it happening in your family and you see them focusing on the one tree, just say, we're looking at the wrong tree. We're looking at the wrong one when we ought to be looking at what God has said and done. Don't focus on what Satan would have you to focus on, what you can't have or don't have understand that God does what He does and says what He says to protect us. Amen? Pray with me, won't you? Father, thank You so much for Your Word. God, we just read over it and we don't realize, Father, just how deep it goes for us. Would You help me, Lord, to not just believe in You, but to believe every word You said, and that, God, that my faith in You would be strong, that You would be my shield. Father, that You would be my strong tower. God, help me to depend on the truth and to hold to it in such a fashion, Lord, that I would not be tempted to run to a quick pleasure or a quick fix instead of holding on to You and letting Your timing grow me and strengthen me and bless me beyond what I could think or ask. Forgive me, Father, where I have been quick to give up on Your word and to believe Satan. And God, help me now to be strong with each following step, that I would be the soldier that You want me to be.